When he came back up and opened his eyes, the devil himself was staring back at him. He was only an outline at first, a vague shape in the darkness of the bedchamber, a trick of the light. Then he emerged into the cold gray of the sitting room. Elias's doubt turned to disbelief. His mouth was coated with ash. He swallowed hard against the bitter taste the spice had left on the back of his tongue. And then, the strangest thing, he laughed aloud. What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode. It is finally here, the big showdown. Where we last left off, Lee and Haytham infiltrate the Grey Keep to take the fight to Elias. You are not going to want to watch this episode if you are not caught up yet, so if you need to, I have a link to the full playlist down in the episode description, as well as a couple of recap videos to give you a refresher if you haven't watched in a while. Alright, let me get out of my own way. I will catch you at the end of the episode. I'm Josh Call, and this is Last Colosseum. He stared down at the jagged yellow caterpillar, his eyes red-rimmed and bloodshot. He was down to his last few grains of spice. The rest was long gone, roaring through his veins, grinding his teeth to stumps and bawling his fists. He'd rolled his sleeves up past the elbow, the veins in his arms standing out stark against the white like many-headed blue serpents. When he caught a glimpse of himself on the glass of his armor case, his face reflected over the polished helm was that of a dead man. It reminded him of what he'd seen on campaign, eyes sunken, sallow skin stretched tight over the skull, nostrils flared and teeth clenched. It was the last look in a man's eye before the knight's hand and a half or split him from bits to brains. The sight of himself made him laugh, an awful banshee cackle that was almost a scream. That frightened him worst of all, but he was safe. And as the clouds dissolved under the gathering weight of dawn, a little of the terror that had so gripped him during the night started to lift. The sitting room door was barred from the inside. Beyond it, the hall was bristling with his own hand-picked house guards. Unless the brawler could float through the walls, Elias would have been surprised by nothing by this point. He'd be a pincushion before he made it halfway down the hall. It was only in the last hour that he'd permitted the servants to come and clean up the mess of spilt gravy and pulverized vegetables from his bedchamber. By then, it had started to smell. The whole time they'd been at it, Elias had watched them from the doorway, his sword bared and glowing in the light from the coals. When they left, he tried to bar that entrance, too. The heavy armoire's feet stuck in the thick carpet and nearly toppled over, and he quickly abandoned the effort. What would the servants have said when they came in with his next meal and found Lord Whiterose crushed under his own bloody wardrobe? He found a good-sized end table next to his bed and shoved that up against the servant entrance as a consolation. It wouldn't do much. The servant doors all slid open on a track and disappeared into the wall, but it helped a little with the creeping panic that clawed at his insides and kept him going back to the spice. He glared down at the last dregs of his precious powder, hating all of them for backing him into this corner. The brawler, the fiddler, the spider, the piglet. He was a man alone. He always had been, even in the old days. Destiny had set him apart. She'd yoked him to the world weight of his duty and pitched him into the river. The fickle bitch. His rooms had become a jail cell. A man wasn't meant to live like this, counting down the hours on his fingers until the hangman came. Even Rowan had abandoned him in the end. She'd only been after one thing. Her appointment in the keep would last the rest of her life if she kept her head down. And once she had what she wanted, once she'd sucked him dry like everyone else, she'd flung the withered husk of him away. That's all the devil would find when he came. Elias Whiterose, what was left of him anyway, shriveled up and dried like a raisin. He wondered if it would be a disappointment. Idly, he thought about cutting his wrists. The thought made him giggle. His last victory against the brawler would be that when he came for him, he'd find that Elias had already beaten him to it. Gold, glory, power. He'd taken everything that had once belonged to the Reaper. Only the girl had managed to evade him, but what did that matter? He could have his pick of any filly in the Dominion if he wanted, but the capstone to all of it, if he had the courage to grasp it, would be to steal the very revenge that the devil had so long sought. He caught himself fingering the paper knife that was on his desk, the one he used to break the wax seals on all his letters. He slapped it down and recoiled from the desk. He wasn't thinking straight. He was exhausted and frayed and seeing ghosts in his own shadow. It was hard to know if the spice was helping or making it worse. For better or worse, it had its hooks in him. He glared with resentful lust down at the jagged caterpillar on the desk, torn between the desire to sweep the spice off the desk and be done with it, and to snuffle it all up before the first impulse won out. A tinkle of breaking glass. His eyes snapped to the study's open doorway, framing the sitting room and the shadowy bedchamber beyond. Cold light filtered through the glass doors of the balcony. "Hello?" He tried to mask the flash of panic with a tone of haughty irritation. "Who's there? Hatham?" No response. If it was a servant, he'd have been obliged to make himself known. He strained to hear any sound of breath, of feet against the carpet, the rustle of clothes. In a tremulous voice, he called out, "Rowan?" Nothing. He bit his cheeks and slumped in his seat, clutching at the dark velvet arms. Not bad enough to be hunting for his assassin behind every curtain. Now he was hearing things. At least with Rowan here, she could have told him what was real and what was his own imagination. With the paper knife, he measured off a sliver of his caterpillar. He didn't need much, just enough to control his tattered nerves. He'd go out after, he decided, hawking or riding or something. It didn't matter. He'd feel better out in the fresh air. He dipped his nose to the powder and snuffed it up. The familiar rush of empty euphoria was little more than a trickle after the long night. Even so, he sighed as the spice took hold. When he came back up and opened his eyes, the devil himself was staring back at him. He was only an outline at first, a vague shape in the darkness of the bedchamber, a trick of the light. Then he emerged into the cold gray of the sitting room. Elias's doubt turned to disbelief. His mouth was coated with ash. He swallowed hard against the bitter taste the spice had left on the back of his tongue. And then, the strangest thing, he laughed aloud. "Hatham," he heard himself say. "You look like shit." That was putting it mildly. It was the same face that had glared back at him from the jail cell, but in every way worse. His features were a ruin. His eyes shone like water at the bottom of a dark well. His lips were cracked and raw. He left the cloak he was wearing in a heap at the threshold of the bedchamber. Elias saw new bruises mottling his body. The puckered white scar winked at the man who'd put it there. Elias stood. He'd expected to be afraid. But no. Perhaps it was the spice doing its work of obliterating everything that wasn't its own synthetic thrill. But when he saw the brawler, the devil, the dead man, his brother, a feeling not unlike relief coursed powerfully through Elias. His fingers trailed across the surface of the desk. He sat on the edge. He didn't yet reach for his sword, nor for the hand crossbow that lay beside his spice effects. "I have to ask," he murmured, massaging his own throat. "How did you offend the devil that even he would turn you out?" He saw no bruises on the brawler's neck from the noose, nor any bite marks from the headsman's blade. Or was all that just another trick? He didn't say anything. He sank, wearily, it seemed to Elias, into that old ready stance that Elias must have seen 1,000 times in the old days. Legs apart with bent knees, his outstretched hands loose but never slack. Quicksilver, Elias had once dubbed it. The name had stuck. White Rose ignored the implied challenge. "Would you sit with me first and talk?" He motioned toward the couches in the sitting room, the stones board on the low glass table set for a new game. "Please," he said it idly, as if he were entertaining a guest. "We'll never have another chance at this." The Reaper's nostrils flared, a vein in his temple throbbed. "Come now." Elias scooped a crystal decanter off the edge of the desk and poured a finger into a cut glass tumbler. He held it out. "All this time, you don't have anything to say?" "Not really," he admitted. Elias sighed. "Very well." He stowed the tumbler beside the decanter. The hand and a halfer bit through the varnish as he dragged it off the desk. He held it one-handed in front of him, the sword point stuck into the carpet. Hatham grit his teeth and sunk low. Quicksilver.
Name survive, brother,
Elias told him. Then he swept the hand crossbow from behind his back and squeezed. The hornet leapt from the weapon at a crawl. The brawler was already 3 steps across the sitting room, his ruined face rent in a snarl. Every muscle flexed as he sprang toward the nobleman. He rocked back an instant before the quarrel took him and slid through the doorway on his knees as it whistled past an inch above his face. The hornet shattered against the mantel. Elias snarled and lunged, his hands in a hafer flashing in a deadly arc. Hatham rolled sideways, and the blade carved a stripe through the carpet. Guard! Elias bellowed over his shoulder, not daring to look away from the brawler for even an instant. Guard! Muffled shouts beyond the sitting room doors. Someone threw his shoulder against them, and the doors rattled. The heavy oaken crossbar held. The brawler came up into a crouch. He was like a wild animal. Elias cleaved into him, his blade gleaming golden with the rising dawn as he lopped off the devil's head. He wasn't there. Hatham spun past the stroke and cracked Elias in the chest, knocking the breath out of him. Elias gasped. Hatham groped at his doublet. Elias tore himself free, barely managing to hold on to his sword as he staggered backward into the sitting room. 2 of the silver clasps on his doublet snapped off and bounced across the carpet. One of his house guards bellowed his name. Elias swung wildly with his sword to keep the brawler at bay, then lunged for the door. He made it 2 steps across the sitting room before Hatham hit him behind the knees like a battering ram. He landed hard, and the brawler came down on him like an avalanche. His face was grim and determined. Elias clawed at his eyes. The brawler swatted his hands away and smashed his nose with 1 oak-hard fist. Blood fountained down his chin and trickled backward down his throat. Hatham reared back to hit him again. Elias howled and rammed his knee into the brawler's groin. Hatham roared and buckled over, spittle flecking Elias's face. He shoved the brawler off balance and wriggled out from under him, kicking him when Hatham tried to grab him. They were still shouting in the hall. Someone threw himself against the doors with an armored crash. A long splinter leapt off the door and speared the carpet. The servant door, you bloody animals! Elias screamed. He'd lost the hand and a halfer when he fell. Hatham was all but on top of it as he came up gingerly on his knees between Elias and the doors. His face, as much of it as wasn't swollen and mottled, was tinged green, Elias saw with satisfaction. He darted into his study. Letters crumpled underfoot as he swept the hand crossbow off the floor and wrenched the little arms back. He jammed a fresh hornet into the groove, but his hands were trembling and the tiny quarrel fell out before he could click it into place. He swore and fumbled with the leather bundle on the desk for another hornet. The brawler's shadow fell across the desk. Elias barely had time to think. He dropped the crossbow and threw himself across the desk. His fingers closed around the filigreed handle of the paper knife an instant before Hatham snatched him by the back of his doublet and wrenched him back. The oil lamp smoldering at the edge of the desk sloughed off and shattered. White Rose twisted in the brawler's grip and carved apart his face. Hatham howled and dropped him, clutching at the mask of blood sheeting down his face. It sluiced between his fingers and dripped down his chest. Elias grinned and advanced with the paper knife as Hatham fell back into the sitting room. He was breathing through his mouth, and he tasted blood, but he could hardly feel the ruin of his nose. The thud of the house guards against the doors was drowned out by the steady thunder of his own heart. His every breath sent pain lancing through his ribs, but his blood was up, and the spice was a warm blanket through which everything else could be ignored. He left a trail of droplets, his own blood and Hatham's, as he moved in for the kill. His stolen armor pinched in all the wrong places. Lee clanked down the hall, wondering how the house guards could possibly wear this stuff every day, certain that his awkward gait would ruin him the moment he was seen. He'd left the soldier in a broom cupboard. It had taken Lee precious minutes to figure out how to pry the armor off him, and precious more to tie his wrists and ankles, and put a gag in his mouth, and muscle the big lolling beast into the cupboard. The whole time he'd been terrified that the guard might awaken. He'd kept a scrub brush with a heavy walnut handle close by in case he needed to club the brute back to sleep. Thankfully, Hatham had knocked him a good one, and he breathed a little easier once he clicked the cupboard door shut. Reassembling the elaborate puzzle of the house guard's armor proved an even tougher challenge, and by the time Lee snapped closed the visor on his helm, he could hear muffled grunting coming from the broom cupboard. He made sure to close the hallway door behind him when he left. The armor was an oven, and sweat stung his eyes as he staggered half-blind down the maze of hallways. There were a few servants about. They kept their heads down as they scurried past him on their chores. He saw one or two nobles wandering the hall with red-rimmed eyes and hair mussed up from sleep. Thankfully, no one said anything about his stiff-legged waddle.
"Clear the way!"
He glanced over his shoulder and blanched. Four soldiers wearing Femeriel's crest were running down the corridor, hefting a log as thick around as a man's middle and whittled to a blunt point at one end. The guard at the head of the battering ram had a triple line of gilt bands on his pauldrons. Even from behind his visor, Lee felt his gaze lock onto him.
"Fall in, man!"
the officer barked, never breaking his stride.
"Quickly!"
He snatched an unclaimed handle. There were six steel grips bolted to the sides of the log and followed the officer. It wasn't long before he heard the chaos echoing from up ahead. Men shouting, armor clanking, an irregular boom reverberating down the hall like the very heartbeat of the keep. Curious nobles had cracked their doors and were peering into the corridor as Lee and the others jogged past. Lee grit his teeth and tried not to think about what had surely already happened. They'd found him. Even expecting it, when he rounded the corner and saw them, his breath caught. There were close to a dozen of them clustered around the big double doors. The white rose crest blooming across their surface was a ragged mess, and splinters crunched beneath the soldiers' boots as they approached. The guards had been going at it with their swords. They'd managed to chip away a hole between the doors barely wide enough to slip your fingers through. Beyond the doors, he heard a familiar howl of pain. Lee swallowed. A few of the soldiers had stripped off their helmets and were running in twos at the doors, ramming their shoulders into the crack. The doors shuddered but held. Several of the guards' pauldrons had been hammered out of shape by the assault. Another house guard hefted his crossbow on his shoulder and swaggered to the door, jamming the business end up to the crack.
"Hold! Hold, you stupid git!" the other shouted. "You'll hit Lord Whiterose!"
"He's not 5 yards away," argued the first. "I could pin him with me."
He'd turned to the others and noticed the officer sweeping toward them at the head of the ram. He dipped his head respectfully and backed away from the door.
"Eyes shut," he muttered.
"Stow that," the officer ordered. "It's not worth the risk." "I can pin him, Captain. I can..."
The officer fixed him with a withering look, and his protestations died on his lips. He slung the crossbow on his belt hook. The captain bade the others to clear enough space for the ram.
"If you see an empty handle, take it. If you start a flag, let someone relieve you. The rest of you, weapons ready the moment we get through. Is that clear?"
15 men barked an enthusiastic aye.
"I want shields up around Lord Whiterose as soon as we're through that door. Protecting the hand is our first priority."
He paused alongside the thief. Lee felt his neck prickle as the captain's gaze touched him momentarily. He swallowed, the apple of his throat bobbing against his steel gorget. The captain held up a hand and swept it toward the doors.
"And march!"
He ran with the others and bashed the ram against the doors. The doors quaked and shuddered. The assault against them was relentless. Splinters littered the carpet around the doors, and hairline fractures spiderwebbed around the stone joists that held the crossbar in place. For the fifth time, Hatham blinked blood out of his eyes. It felt like a brand was sizzling crossways from above his left eye to his right cheek. He resisted the urge to mop his face. When he tried before, the pain was almost blinding. He was flagging. He could feel it. In his prime, he'd have fought 6 rounds before the fatigue started to set in, and 6 more at least before his limbs quit on him. But that was then, when he'd clambered over the end table in front of the servant door and smashed that silly wine glass by mistake. It was already with a 12-round fatigue hanging like a lead weight around his neck. Not that Elias was doing much better. His lips and chin were caked with blood from his mashed nose, and one of his eyes had swollen nearly shut. His breath wheezed through gritted teeth. It was hard to tell whether it was a grin or a snarl. He staggered toward the brawler like a man in his cups, swiping wildly with the knife. It felt like Hatham's limbs were moving through mud. He threw up a hand and caught Elias's knife hand. He clawed for purchase with his other and found the lapel of his torn doublet. Roaring, he heaved Elias over his head and smashed him down on the table before the hearth. White Rose screamed. The glass didn't break, but two of the table's clawed feet snapped, and they both slid down. Marble pieces from the stone set skittered every which way. Elias clawed at Hatham's rent face. The pain was as bad as anything the torturer below the jail had done. Hatham bit Elias's hand and spat out a bloody chunk of skin. An axe head bit through the door and sprayed them both with splinters. Torchlight poured through a dozen tiny holes. He could see armored visors through the gaps. The crossbar sagged on its failing joists. Whoever was commanding them ordered the soldiers back for another turn with the ram. Hatham snarled and tried to twist the paper knife out of Elias's hand, slicing his own fingers to the bone. He didn't notice Elias's other hand scrabbling for the fire iron jutting out of the coals until the wrought iron bar cracked him across the skull. Hatham's vision flickered, and he reared back, ears ringing. He threw a hand out blindly before Elias could clobber him again and felt his fingers close around the warm iron bar. He wrenched it out of White Rose's grasp, twirled it over his head, and screamed as he thrust it into the bastard's heart. He wasn't there. The fire iron sparked against the hearthstones and sent a shock ringing through the brawler's hands. The roar of the waterfall below the keep thickened. Hatham looked. The balcony door was swinging wide, and Elias's boot was slipping around the corner out of sight. He hefted the iron in one hand and ran after him through the doors. Elias flung himself at the open door as Hatham was still coming through and smashed it into him. He slammed the butt of the paper knife against the panes and showered the brawler with glass shards. Hatham threw up a hand to shield his face, and Elias slashed him deep from wrist down to his elbow. He howled and dropped the fire iron as a freshet of blood sprayed the broken glass. Elias moved in for the kill. Hatham stumbled back, glass crunching underfoot, the lordling's knife flashing orange as the first sliver of sun bared its nose above the keep. He felt the stone balustrade against his back and nearly went over the side as the knife arced an inch from his face. He tried to kick White Rose away, but he easily dodged the brawler's boot as he moved in with the knife. "You're mine, brother." He couldn't hear him over the falls, but he saw his lips move just before he drove the knife home between the brawler's ribs. His hands were numb and bloodless. He saw his fingers close around the knife hand, the tip quivering an inch from his belly. He tightened his grip and glowered into the bastard's eyes. For an instant, it was Amitha staring back at him, shock and horror blooming on her face. Then he twisted cruelly and snapped the fragile bird bones in his wrist. He felt the jolt up to his elbow. He never heard a scream like that. The knife clattered onto the balcony. Hatham spun around him and twisted both his fists into the lordling's doublet. Elias's feet left the balcony, framed with the city sprawl and rising orange below and behind him. Hatham took one monumental step toward the brink. His face went blank. He didn't quite feel the quarrel as it punched under his ribs on his left flank. Something impacted him low on his side and knocked him off balance, and suddenly he couldn't hold Elias up anymore. He set him down gently, howling internally. Where before he'd been holding him up, he now clutched the bastard's doublet to keep from falling. He looked back. He saw the fletching on the quarrel. He didn't understand. Then he saw the house guard. He was standing at the threshold of the bedchamber, still glaring at the brawler above his spent crossbow. Hatham took a drunken step toward him and sank to a knee. His mouth hung slack, his lower lip trembling. The joists on the sitting room doors that were holding the crossbow in place finally exploded, and an army of soldiers spilled into the room. Swords and halberds and crossbows drawn. They threw down the big battering ram as they streamed in, shouting in a language he didn't recognize. Everything was underwater. He felt terribly cold. He fell back on the balcony and felt a sharp pain on his side as the quarrel snapped beneath him. Darkness trickled across his vision. He fumbled with something on his belt, but his hands were numb and sluggish and far away. The endless roar of the falls continued to fade as color leached out of the sky until everything was gray and silent. And in the silence came death. She was like sleep under a summer sky, long and lovely and unknowable. He'd seen her countless times over, always at a distance, or else pulled back from the brink just before embrace. Her face was sad and pale and inviting, and her lips formed his name, her eyes dark with oblivion, sweet and certain. She'd promised to wait for him. He was ready. Elias was at her side. He'd scooped the iron off the floor, and he clutched it in his left hand, the right twisted in a horrible claw against his chest. The iron was tapered to a rounded point. It would take a great deal of strength to run him through. Elias's face was bruised and bloody and ashen.
Hathem, Hathem,
Lord White Rose crooned. He read his lips.
Despised by the devil. Maybe this time he won't turn you away.
He tried to answer. All that came out was a gurgle, and he coughed blood. Elias's lips were pursed, his jaw tight. His throat bobbed when he swallowed. He mopped his brow with the back of his unruined hand. He waved the iron in the dying man's face.
I never wanted this, Elias said. I hope you'll be at peace.
He raised the iron high. Hathem laughed. It was a terrible sound, weak and rattling, droplets of blood flecking his chin, his chest, Elias's breeches like crimson slingstones. White Rose hesitated, smirking.
What's funny?
He showed him. The bloody paper knife trembled in his fist. Elias gaped and tried to scramble back. Before he could, Hathem snarled and slammed it into his boot. He saw the scream without hearing it, the veins in his neck bulging as thick as your little finger. All Hathem heard was a shrill ringing in his ears that blotted out everything else. Elias clawed for the knife and tore it out of his foot. Hathem's blood-soaked hand thrust up and latched around his throat. He was on his feet. He didn't remember standing, but the next moment he was holding Elias out past the balustrade, the lordling desperately trying to wrap his legs around the stone railing. Hathem's whole body was on fire. He didn't care. The house guards were crowded around the doors, not daring to approach for fear he'd drop White Rose. They howled for him to surrender, to release him, to get down on his knees. He didn't hear them. His world had narrowed. His nails bit into Elias's throat, blood oozing between his fingers. Elias clung desperately to the brawler's arm with both hands, the broken one and the whole. His mouth formed words, oaths, pleas, curses, but he didn't have the breath to make them heard.
Brother,
he saw him gasp from purple lips. The Reaper leered. A vainer man might have given a speech before the Lord and his soldiers, stirring and vengeful after so long spent waiting for this moment to destroy his name before his body. A cleverer man might have struck a bargain before witnesses for land and wealth and privilege to spare Lord White Rose. At this moment, Elias would have traded half the city, although it wasn't his to give, to keep his own life. As it was, Hathem was neither vain nor clever, only bone-tired. So he flung his arms around Elias and leapt over the side. He laughed as they fell. Thank you guys so much for listening. It really is a privilege to be able to share this entire story with you. We have just two episodes left before this whole thing is done. So thank you, thank you, thank you if you have been following the story from the beginning. As always, it is a huge favor to me if you leave a like or a comment on the video, a 5-star review if you're listening on podcast, or if you just send this to a friend and say, hey, this story is very nearly over and is really, really cool and you should totally check it out. Thank you again for all of the love and support throughout this. Thank you again, as always, for listening, and I will catch you next week, same time, same place. I'll see you then.